Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
First Chronicles 29:1-9 reads. I'm going to read it quite fast, so follow. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for a man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the gold things, the silver for the silver things, bronze for the bronze things, iron for the iron things, wood for the wood things, stone for the stone things. Verse 3. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of silver for the overlaying of the works in the walls of the house of the Lord. Skip with me to verse 5. It says, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the gold things, silver for the silver things. Then he asks a question. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to Yahweh? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of the Lord 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart, they had offered freely to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced greatly. Now, God, I ask that the very word that has been spoken will find resonance in our hearts. May all the variations of your word go out to impact, affect, and effect that which you desire in the hearts of every single one of us. May this word not return void, but accomplish its purpose this day and always in our hearts. Bless your people as you anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When you read that story and you go over it really quickly, you kind of miss the juice behind it when you think about the bold generosity of David and the people of Israel. And this story actually begins in chapter 17 of the same book, First Chronicles, where David is disturbed that God's covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, was under a tent while he was living in a great mansion. And so in his heart was birthed the desire to build for God a great house. And he works extremely hard to ensure that he builds a facility that no one has ever seen. So David goes about getting the resources. I'm going to highly summarize this one as well for you. And if you will go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22:14, the Bible says, with great pain, David gathered resources for the house of the Lord. 100,000 tons of gold, 1 million tons of silver, and in an unmeasurable amount of iron. It couldn't be measured. The stones couldn't even be measured. But I want to use what was measured to give you an idea of the great work that was at hand. Those 10,000 tons of gold and 1 million tons of silver come to approximately $1.75 trillion in today's currency. That's what it is. In chapter 29 and in verse 4, David says, and yet of my own treasury, I gave 3,000 tons of gold, 7,000 tons of silver. And that, to today's terms, is about $12.5 billion. And some of our heads are spinning because we're used to million. But think about it. If you try to translate that to English, I mean to Ugandan shillings, it spins your head. In verse 7, they gave as much of silver, of gold, of iron, of bronze. All of that figure comes to approximately $21.5 billion. Hey, this is, by the way, not for the construction of an airport or of a road called expressway. This was for the construction of God's house. The total amount of which they collected was $1.78 trillion US dollars. This is without counting the iron they couldn't weigh, without counting the stones they couldn't weigh. So I presume it probably went to above 2.5 trillion, probably even 3 trillion. We have no idea, but it is that much. And I sat back and I said, God, this is such mind-blowing, bold generosity. So in an attempt to give you a handle of what bold generosity is, this is the definition that we're going to be working with as we go forward. Bold generosity is the spirit-empowered. Are you following with me? Spirit-empowered, unashamed willingness to give freely, unreservedly, above and beyond for the glory of God, flowing from a heart that is devoted to Him. So now I want to unpack that. I want to bring that to where we are. We've been doing this for a number of years. Some of you have been experiencing this, but I feel God calling us back to the place not to tire away. I feel God is calling us to a place that some of us who probably were on the edge and not being bold in your giving, God wants to move you to the next place of generosity. So we unpack this. What does this look like on an everyday level? Or an everyday life. First and foremost, bold generosity from the scripture we've read is a response to bold vision. And if you go with me to 1 Corinthians 29 and verse 1, David says, the work of building the house is great because this work is not for the temple, it's not for the house of a man, but it's for the house of God. The greatness of the work is not necessarily in the work, but it is in the one for whom we are working. The vision is not just the house. It is the one for whom we are working. So you will backtrack with me to chapter 22 and verse 5. David says, the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious all throughout the countries. That was his vision. That was the bold vision that David painted. And David ensured that he stopped at nothing and to make sure that every resource needed to see that vision come to pass was found. So much so when you read in chapter 28, David tells his son Solomon, I have gathered all of this, but make sure you even add more. To this day, by the way, there has never been a temple more magnificent than that temple. There has never been a building that had so much gold on its walls and on its pillars like that temple. And I've been told, or from what we're reading and listening to the news, they're trying to resuscitate that temple again. That one for me just tells me the end time is nearby. Yeah. Bold vision. You see, our total church, God has called us, given us a clear mission. And that is to bring healing to the cities and to the nations by touching those around us with the love of Jesus. And as we've wrestled with this thought and as we're getting into the Miracle Missions offering, it is very clear for us that in the next 10 years, God is calling us to reach out to 1 million people with the gospel of Jesus. We want to preach to 1 million people. Now, some of you are saying 1 million seems small. Don't forget, this is just one church. We want to preach the gospel of Christ to 1 million people. And our desire in the next 10 years is to see 500,000 people get born again through the ministry of Watoto Church. Is it doable? Oh, yes. But it's a great work. And we just don't want to win 500,000 people over to Jesus. We want to ground them. Our desire is to see 100,000 believers being equipped to be godly transformational leaders. Because you see, the healing we desire requires godly people in places of influence, but also in our everyday marketplace. So we want to equip them. That's where God is calling us to. And when we think about it, to help us achieve this, we need to do a couple of things. In the next 10 years, we want to plant 5 Watoto churches or celebrations. Watoto church celebrations in 5 new cities. 5 of them. Currently, I think we are 7, 8, 9, 10 cities. So we want to go into those cities. And I must add, as we're talking to Pastor Jules, he says, even outside Uganda. Hallelujah. We want to step out. My guys on the slide are going to help me with my points. Okay? You have the next slide for me there? All right, not that one. But anyway, let me come back. In the next 10 years, what we want to do is ensure we buy strategic property. One of the reasons we are struggling in Kira is we slept. If we had gone to Kira 15 years ago and just bought land, we would not be suffering now. So we are mapping out the city, we are mapping out the country and saying, where else are we going? That's what we are doing. Hallelujah. In these next 10 years, one of the key areas that we are going to make sure we strengthen is our missions ministry, our outreach ministry to the schools and to the communities where we live. The people are there. We want to find them there. We're not going to sit back and wait for them to come here. No, we're going to find them there, disciple them, bring them in, then send them out again. Hallelujah. Yeah. In the next 10 years, we want to do this. Hey, we need to say bye-bye to tents. Huh? Luvoa needs a structure. So in the next 10 years, Gulu, Luvoa, and all these people with tents need to be in a permanent structure. Hallelujah. Yeah. One of the things that has been heavily laid on our team leader's heart, and we've all embraced, is to expand our generosity to ministries outside Uganda to the rest of Africa. We want to look at some of the African countries and God to lead us to some African countries where we can begin to sow seed and begin to encourage the ministries in those African countries. Even as we keep doing so here, we want to do that because this work is not for us alone. Hallelujah. You should actually go.
Praise God.
Yes. So that's the long-term view. But I want to bring it down to the Miracle Missions offering of 2025. What is it going to do in 2026? Well, I say this to you very loud and clearly and very simple for you. One of the things we will always do is bless other ministries. That one is a non-negotiable for us. We'll bless other ministries. Secondly, and I didn't mention this earlier on, but last year we should have bought extra vans for missions to support the trucks we bought because there are schools that cannot take fully the trucks. So we wanted to buy other mission vans this year. We want to ensure we buy those vans, okay? This year, we want to make sure that we move Mbarara from a rented facility, so much money in that rented facility, and put them onto their own property. It's a beautiful lakeside campus. Not lakeside, riverside. Riverside. Campus. I've walked. There's a beach side to it. It's beautiful. They need to go there. Hallelujah. In the year that comes. So these are some of the things that we want to continue to do in the year 2026. And so we invite you today to be boldly generous to this bold vision. This vision is not about Watoto. It is about making Jesus famous. It's about making sure that we spread the aroma of Christ everywhere the Lord opens the door. It's about us honoring God. It's about us ensuring that we establish the purpose and the principle of the kingdom of God in this country and the world over where God shall allow for us to go. So we're inviting you, and I want to ask you the very question that David asked the children of Israel. Who is willing to offer and consecrate themselves to the Lord? I pray you will say yes to this bold vision and boldly give in this year's Miracle Missions offering. Which brings me to the second point, is that it calls for sacrifice. This one I'm sure you saw it coming. David says in verse 3, because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give of my personal treasuries over and above what I have gathered from elsewhere. You see, it's easy. It should have been easy for David to sit back and say, but I've really worked so hard. I have raised $1.75 trillion. So, hey, guys, do your part. David said, no. My devotion is to my God. Therefore, Lord, also from my own treasuries, I now give you. Should be in Samuel or Chronicles. I don't remember, but David said this. No, it's actually in the Chronicles. David said this. Chronicles chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. David says this. I will not give to the Lord a sacrifice that does not cost me. And you're going to understand that phrase a little bit later on in the sermon. He says, I will not. So it's going to take a sacrifice. In fact, in chapter 22, verse 14, it begins by saying, with great pains, David gathered the resources. I don't know what God is going to take you through to bring in the resources. But whatever it is, it's going to take a sacrifice. You see, to sacrifice is to give up something that is valued for the sake of something else considered more important or worthy. Can I tell you this? There is nothing more worthy, more noble, more honorable than giving up your resources or your life for the sake of Jesus and the gospel of Christ. Nothing more noble. Nothing more noble than you sacrificing what you have of great value to bless another person and another individual in the name of Jesus. Nothing more noble. God is calling you and I to sacrifice that which is dear to you for the sake of his gospel and his kingdom. I guess for me, the question that I'm asking myself, that I want to ask you is, am I willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? It's going to be a stretch. I don't know what God will ask of you, but if he does ask of you, be ready to sacrifice it. Hallelujah. We have to be ready. This gentleman in our in the congregation of the war, without telling you too much detail, they were going through a struggling time, a very tough time. But in those tough times, one of the things that they kept doing, they told themselves that, together with his wife, they said, we will still be generous in this tough time. We will still be. They really went through, I can't tell you the full story, but it was a really, really difficult time. Out of work for like 3 years and just many things in there. God finally blessed them. The guy, you know when they say you move from rags to riches? The guy moved from rags to riches and riches and more riches. In order to show his gratitude to the Lord, he invited a couple people to his house. And without telling you, just one of them, they had driven a car for about 3 months and the Lord told him, give that car away. And I was there. I watched it. I saw this. And they gave away their 3 months old, not old, you know what I mean, 3 months old car to a family that were not even suspecting. Bold generosity calls for great sacrifice. Which must be accompanied with the third thing. If you're to give sacrificially, make sure you do it willingly and honestly. It has to be willingly and what? Verse 17, David says this, Lord, I know that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. With a willing heart and with honest intent, I have given these things. And even now, I have seen how your people are willing to give and have given to you with great joy. You see, the Bible says God tests the heart. Can I tell you this? God is not so much interested in what you give as to how the heart has given. You may give the greatest sacrifice, but have a wrong heart, and you will miss the blessing of God. Speak to Cain. He will tell you that his offering was rejected. And God says, because he did it with the wrong place. I'm here to tell you, make sure that the offering you give to the Lord is willingly. You see, when we talk about willingness, willingness is, I love this definition. It is the readiness to do something or give something ungrudgingly, voluntarily, joyfully, and freely. Now, this is where most of us struggle. And let us just be honest. It is possible that when we say $2 million, your heart went, last year was $1.5 million. It is possible that your heart began to complain and grumble. It's possible.
You know, but this pastor, you know, can't stay.
Can't they first push this miracle mission offering for like 2 years? This is what God told us to do many years ago. So we are simply walking in obedience. I know these things. I've been there, people. Yeah. All of us can testify that at one point we were grudging. Unless you're Jesus. You have no errors in your life.
Yeah, but pastor, I gave miracle offering like 4 years ago. The Lord hasn't yet come for me. Now you still want me to give back to the Lord again. But surely, Lord, you said God will bless me.
Okay, since all of us are giving, you have. Your heart's motive is already wrong. And your posture is already wrong. Many years ago, we preached a sermon on need, greed, and seeds. And one of the challenges we found is that there are people who give from a grudging heart. To give with an honest heart is for you to give with a pure heart, a heart with a pure motive, to give from a sincere heart, not to show off. No. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this because I've seen it. There's an awkwardness when you come to Miracle Missions offering and you don't have anything. Everyone is lining up, coming to dance. For you, they're like this. There's an awkwardness, right? It's awkward. So, you ask the usher for an envelope. You come dance, 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 dance. Drop in an empty envelope. Because, guys. I am touching on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 puts it this way. Where there is a willingness, the offering is acceptable. According to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Make your sacrifice received by the Lord. But let me tell you, if you are grudging in your heart, deal with that grudge so that on that day you give willingly, honestly, that God may accept your offering. By the way, God never told us when you sow today, tomorrow you reap. For some people, he does that. For other people, it waits a while. I don't know why he does it, but he does it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If God loves a cheerful giver, he says, God then is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times you may have all that you need and abound in every good work. Forgive me, I rap sometimes. But that's what God does. Do it from a willing heart. I'll remind you, bold generosity is that spirit-empowered, unashamed willingness to give freely and unreservedly for the glory of God, flowing from a heart that is devoted to Him. And as I got thinking about this, I was reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us very clearly that let us fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and its shame and is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the will of his dad. Okay, not his dad, of his father.
And the Father's will, if you read throughout the scripture, is very simple. He does not want anyone to perish. In Isaiah 59, it says, I came and checked and I found that there was no one to intercede. Therefore, God took up the position to fight on behalf of mankind. And what did he do? Philippians tells us that Christ left his place in glory, stripped himself of all that glory, humbled himself, was found in the form of a man. He suffered, was crucified, he was buried. He willingly laid down his life for you and I. He left all of that glory. Left you behind for 33 years on the earth because he wants you to be saved. And now he asks of us who are born again, would you lay down your life for me and for the gospel? Would you be bold in your giving that we may expand the kingdom of God? Because that brings me to the fourth point, that when we give willingly and honestly, sacrificially, towards this bold vision, we inspire others. David said in verse 5 of our key text today, who is willing to offer and consecrate themselves to the Lord? Because of his demonstration, David had really demonstrated to the people a heart of bold generosity. He demonstrated it. What happened? He inspired the entire congregation of the nation of Israel. They gave. Everyone gave. And everyone rejoiced. When I was reading this through, I came to appreciate something. The bold generosity of David inspired faith in God and joyful worship of him. Verse 9 says, and the people rejoiced that they were willingly, and they willingly and generously had given to the Lord. They rejoiced. You see, that's what Miracle Mission's offering is about. About inspiring faith in Jesus. About drawing people to Jesus. It's about us bringing people to the place where they will joyfully worship Jesus. Our mission trucks have set off to go and do ministry this weekend. And we're going out to different schools for the next 1 week. And we're trusting God for thousands of children to give their hearts to Jesus. And those mission trucks are a result of your Miracle Missions offering. Last year alone, actually even the beginning of this year, last year I think it was about 10,000 children gave their lives to Jesus. 10,000. We've inspired faith in others. You see, the reason why we're excited about coming to Jesus is because, recently there was that false prophecy that the rapture is coming. Okay? That was a false. It is true that Jesus is coming back. It's true. The Bible says no one knows the day, the time, or the hour. In fact, Jesus says not even the Son of Man knows. But the reality still remains that Jesus is coming back. Our role is to move as fast as we can to win as many as we can, that they may escape the powers of darkness and hell that is coming for all those that are rebellious. So our miracle offering is given towards inspiring faith in Jesus, that they may get born again and come to relationship with God. That's what it's about. In 2023, we gave a Miracle Missions offering to a church in Congo. Army of God Church, Bunia, Congo. And it was towards the building of their children's block. It's a multi-storied building, I think, about 3 levels. And we gave towards that. Pastor Julius went there, took whatever needed to be taken there. You saw the video last year. I don't know if last year or this year, but you saw the video. I think it was last year. Yeah, we saw the video last year. And this is what happened. When they sat down as the leadership of Army of God Church, they said, a church very far away has thought about blessing us. Surely we can do something also here. They also did their own miracle missions offering. Now, guess what? They have built, continue building their structure, and they are now being a blessing to other people. You inspire others.
When we talk about being generous in our community, we really are saying do that, because you see, generosity opens up people to the gospel. Don't say go and be warm. That is not the gospel. If you have it in your ability to be a blessing, bless in the name of Jesus. So this cell goes out into the community, reach out into the community. And the person that went to see the poor family, really a lady and her husband in that place, she's in a compound, and they walk over to her, and she didn't care to even look up and greet them. They tried to get her attention and talk to her, but, you know. So what they did, they said, you know what? We came with a clean heart. They went to the car, picked up whatever they had. And I think from the corner of her eye, she saw. And suddenly she straightened up, ran into the house, swept the living room really quickly, put mats down, and came out and welcomed the guests. Then ran and told her husband, Mommy, come. There are guys who have come to visit us. The husband came, was blown away. Wasn't a Christian. They're both not Christians, of totally different faiths. And guess what happens? They asked them, but who are you guys to do this? And then they told them who they were. They were Christians, and they shared the gospel with them. The husband said this, if this is what it means to be a Christian, then I'm going to give it thought. A seed was sown. Clap for the Lord, people. So I want to encourage you. Your bold generosity will inspire others. And bringing me to the fifth point of bold generosity. The thing about bold generosity is that if you are going to be bold in your giving, you need to recognize God as your source. Verse 14, David says this, who are we and am I as your people that we should be able to give this greatly? For what we have given you comes from your hands. Verse 15, David says, our ancestors were foreigners in this land, so are we. We are strangers in this world. And then it says in verse 16 the same thing, God, who are we that we should be able to give you this abundance? Because everything we have given to you comes from you. If you want to break out of the stinginess, you must learn that the very thing God is asking you to give is from Him. We own nothing. In fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we came with nothing into this world, we will live with nothing from this world. The sooner you come to realize that these things are temporal, the quicker you will release. Hallelujah. I know the fear is always, God, if I give all of this, will you take care of me? God cannot ask you to give Him something and then take care of you. He can't. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this. I love this. He will give seed to the sower and bread for food, will increase your store of seed and multiply your harvest of what? Righteousness. Who gives seed? God. Who gives bread? So when God asks you to give that thing sacrificially, He knows He will take care of your need. The problem is sometimes we're just locked in to God blessing us in a specific way. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for a specific blessing, but you must learn to be open that God blesses you in ways that you will never imagine. God is your source, not your employee, rather your employer, not your business, not your father, not your mother, not that bourgeoisie you know. God is the source. He only asks you to give back to Him what He gave you. Do you know why? Because there's a greater purpose. The purpose is for extending the kingdom of God. And that is why we're inviting you into this season of bold generosity, because there's a greater purpose. God is our source.
I can tell you that I'm a living testimony of trusting in God. I am a living testimony. Maybe one time when you visit Luboa, you'll hear the story. But I'm a living testimony. I kid you not. My wife and I, about 10 years ago, in our entire married life, we have seen God show up in ways. And there are days we just look at each other and say, God will provide. I don't know what is going to, but he will what? There's a day, now let me tell you this one. We walked into the house. One of those days where we were broke. You have to say it slowly. Because the pastor can't be broke. It was tight. Guess what? I walked into the house and my wife told me, I just, in the quietness of my heart, I said, God, surely you are a provider. Surely. 5 minutes later, I had 300,000 shillings on my phone. This is not miracle money. The Lord spoke to someone, said, bless my servant. Finally, I need to close. And I believe this last point is what puts everything together. Bold generosity flows from a heart devoted to God. A heart devoted to God is a heart that seeks and sets its affections, its priorities, its loyalties to honor God and pursue his purpose. I can't say it enough. David did this. I mean, if you read the scripture, you know, 1 Chronicles 17:1, I get it from there. You come back to 1 Chronicles 29:3, I get it from there. From a place of devotion. It came from in him and said, God, I want to do something to honor you. I want to do something that makes you famous. It flowed from a heart. We all know that David was a man after God's heart. May you become a man and a woman after God's heart. Let it be about God, not about what you're giving, but about God's. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God wants to save souls. God wants to establish his kingdom. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to be saved. God wants that. And therefore, because you are a man and a woman after God's own heart, I will give boldly. I will give that God may be honored everywhere. Matthew 5 says, let your light shine that men may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that is what happens. 2 Corinthians 9:11-12 says, that's the same thing that happens. When we give, we meet a need, and the people whose needs we meet will praise God. So we do this because we want to honor God. Hallelujah. Let it flow from a heart that is devoted to God. So if you're here and you're planning to give, but you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, I pray you do so today. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and its shame, and is right now at the right hand of God. Jesus sets for us the perfect example of bold generosity. Will you follow that example today? Will you surrender your heart to him as well? Because he did something that you couldn't do for yourself. Lean on Jesus today. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com. Hey, hey,